and this is the episode of I'm going to share too many things that are too personal to too many people on the internet. In other news, my dog keeps eating my fucking underwear, and he won't stop.
This is like a chronic problem.
Yeah.
It is a chronic problem. This has happened. We've talked about this on this podcast about your dog. And oh, there's a sign.
Sorry, it's where I live.
Okay. Yeah, you're downtown. It's fine. Yeah, and also this is the Overshare podcast. I feel like we just...
Sorry. Continue.
This is going good. This is a good podcast.
Yes.
This is our... It's definitely a chronic oversharing podcast also. Like, chronic... It is. Panty eating, chronic oversharing.
I think that should be... But what... Okay. All right. Now I have an idea. Because this could be a game show called... And it is just called Chronic. And it's like a bunch of people. And you get them all together on an island. It's similar to other game shows, you know. And other reality TV shows. And you just give them... Everybody gets like one Four Loko that they have to finish throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then everything they eat is panty shaped, and then you just let them be. You just let them be on the island, and we'll just see what happens. Nobody gets voted out. There's no competition.
It's just they keep smashing Four Lokos and eating panty shaped things.
Right.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I would watch that.
I think it would just be insanity in a show.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, all contestants are ex-bachelor contestants as well.
Yes, I love that. I love that. I'm here for that. I'd watch that 1,000 times over. So I had my first drag show this last week.
Yes, please tell us all about it.
It went super well. It was like a... competition, sort of, but very laid back. It was a competition set for newer queens, and there were four of us competing, and all of the rest of them were young hot twinks, and that made me really mad. Like, fuck them, they're so beautiful.
They're just twinks.
Yeah, but they're so hot, and then we're back there and they're changing, and they have like their six packs, and I'm like, shut up, I hate you. You don't know anything about this world.
You don't have enough experience yet.
But it went really well. I had a lot of fun. I think I broke my toe. Fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's cool. I didn't win. I did get second.
Yes. That's pretty fucking good, if you ask me.
I was pretty happy about it. I was the only person who was like first time performing, like debuting. So, and they, like, I kid you not, they fucking loved Patty. Like, they ate her up. And I'm going to actually be performing again tomorrow in that same contest.
Yay!
So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, like, all of the established queens that were there were basically telling me they want me in their shows, and that felt really nice. It just felt really good.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a super positive experience, and getting second is nothing to.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'll win this week.
Exactly, you're going to win this week, no problem. Patty's taking over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say this week, so I've been scoping out who the other queens are, and one is an actual female drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's assigned female at birth. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
You don't see that a whole lot. You see it every now and again, but I am excited to see what she brings. And one is very much a makeup artist. I stalked their Instagram, and
yeah,
they do really good makeup, so, like special effects makeup and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. And
the other one, I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, that's really cool though.
And then there's me.
Yeah, but you've been practicing, which means that you're just as good. It means you're exactly the same.
Yeah, and I'm also bringing, like, my brand, which is unsurprising to anybody listening to this, very dumb sexual comedy. Well, that's, it doesn't have to be sexual. Most of my, yeah, very dumb sexual comedy. Most of my comedy last week was directed toward being evil.
Being evil, yes.
Yes, but
did you channel some good Debbie for your Betty?
Yes.
Patty, I mean. Debbie for your Patty. That's what I meant.
Debbie for my Patty. Yeah. Betty's kind of cute, but I'll Beef Betty doesn't make a lot of sense, but it sounds cool.
I'll Beef Betty.
But this week, it's very sexual. Yes. My two songs that I'm lip-syncing to, one is called, and you just have to stay with me on this, one is called Show Me on the Doll.
Love it.
And it's not about what you think it's about. But it's about, like, it's this woman singing to this, her partner, and her partner is kind of shy about asking for what they want or dirty talk or something. So she's like, just show me on the doll what you want me to do.
this is great.
And the other is, do you know Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of their songs. It's called Go-Kart Racing. And it's about how she is, in a go-kart racing, but it's vibrating so much that it's accidentally masturbating.
Love it. I love it. That's my favorite thing, so, is accidental masturbation.
I love accidental masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, I had a sex dream about a friend the other night.
Oh?
Yeah.
Tell it to good. Me. Tell it gonna... to our dumb sex podcast. Dumb sex comedy podcast.
Well, it was like, so this friend actually just moved to Seattle not too long ago. And so mm-hmm. I apparently had just shown up there unannounced for sex.
hello, but I guess I'm that here. Was,
hello, I'm here. Fuck me. So apparently that went well though. Mm-hmm. So we did the dirty, but also like, because it was a dream, like I was having a hard time moving around and stuff because dreams.
Yeah, there were dream barriers for you to overcome to come
uh-huh.
in the dream.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I woke up and I was like, I should probably tell them about that, but then I didn't, which was also probably a good move.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I had a dream last night where Mel did something naughty, and then I woke Ooh. Up this morning and I told him about it, and he apologized for doing the bad thing in my dream. And then,
oh, naughty, but not like naughty.
Oh, yes, yes. He did. Oh. He was mean in my dream. So he apologized for being mean to me in my dream. And then later this afternoon asked me again, like, are you still mad at me for what I did in your dream? which is so yeah. cute and sweet. And no, I was not so mad at him for what he did in my dream. But I was sure to tell him, make sure to not let it happen again. I need you to be better in my dreams.
Yeah, I mean, I get it though. Like, were you mad for a little while?
I definitely woke up upset. And so
yeah.
We had like extra snuggle time because I was like, in my dream, you were bad and I'm upset now.
Well, I understand. But like, I get like, I do get mad, or like, even if it wasn't Bobby that did something bad in my dream, for like, I had a dream that, you know, made me angry, I'll wake up angry, and then I'll have to be like, I need a few minutes. Like, I'm just letting you know that I don't want to fight, and so I need a few minutes.
I need a few minutes, because I'm already wild up. I woke up bloodborne. Oh my god, so okay, so yeah. Speaking of dreams, and this is actually, this is all related technically, everyone. This is Branched, the podcast that we are doing now.
Listen, we ramble for a while and then we get to our point, which is usually a rambling one.
Which is usually a rambling one. We at Branched, especially at the Branched corporate office, you know, headquarters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We call it structure. And
yeah, HR has a terrible time with us at our corporate headquarters. Stop saying that. You can't say that to other employees.
You can't say those things. Whatever you think is dumb, sexy comedy, we're confused.
This is a place of work.
This
madam.
Is a place of work. Our headquarters building is also half underground because we're all quietly secret queer spies as well, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also sneaking.
It's also sneaking. Yes.
It's on a sinkhole.
It
was really cheap. Rent.
It's really cheap. We're millennials. We're broke shit. I would also like to rebrand and say it's a structure. It's a chosen structure for us. But all of this is technically related under the umbrella of friendships, which is our topic for today.
Yeah. How to maintain. You know how it's related?
Yes.
Because you and I are friends talking. We are like friends.
We're actually like many friends all at once because Doug and Patty, Patty, I hope, is also my friend. But actually,
Patty is your friend. Patty likes you.
Okay. Patty likes me. Okay. So Doug and Patty are my friends. And then just like depending on the day, I feel like we embody a lot of different souls. Mm-hmm. So we're a lot of friends all at once.
Yeah. Which is not crazy.
No, it's not. It makes sense. In my head, HR said it was fine. It was a pre-approved statement.
HR said we tested by HR. I'm pretty sure I'm in our corporate office right now, which is just my home office, which is actually turning into my drag room.
Yes. That's it.
That's my corporate office.
Yeah.
HR is champ.
HR is champ. And champ is pretty good with
you can really bribe champ with, feel like, yeah, you can bribe our HR really well with, like, sliced cheese.
Sliced cheese.
So.
Saying, do you want to go outside? And.
Yeah, or are you a good boy?
Yeah. Those are the things. So really gets champ going.
Or if it's late at night, do you want to go to bed?
Which is good. Our secondary HR person, which is Finley, is actually crying in front of me. because I am not playing with him right now. And
well, yeah, that's a serious offense.
It is a serious offense. So he's stealing my slippers, and he's crying. I'm going to go sit in the closet.
Not again.
I got to go back to the closet.
Oh, no.
So
we're talking?
Yes.
What?
I was about to say what you're about to say. You go ahead.
So we're talking about friendships,
yes.
But more specifically, you know, I know statistically our main demographic is millennials.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about adult friendships and how hard it, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how hard it is to form a friendship as an adult. Yeah. Let's start there, actually.
So,
because
yes.
When you're younger, mm-hmm. you know, you're in elementary school, middle school, high school. You are in forced confinement with other people your age, so you naturally just have friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. And then you become an adult, and you're like, so what do I do?
Right. Because then all of a sudden you are lonely, and it's like,
Fuck,
what am I going to do about this? What?
You're lonely, you're stressed out, you're depressed.
Yep. At what age did you start to feel like it was harder for you to make friends? Because, like, we both have been, like, you have trouble, like, when you were, like, taking classes and stuff, did you have trouble maintaining friendships in that period, or was it after that? So, like, at post-high school?
Well, so post-high school, right after the first 2 years, I went to college with a lot of my high school friends.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really count. But then when I moved to DC, I still was in college for a little while. And I feel like I have a dichotomy inside me because I am very friendly. I feel like very friendly person, but I also give off major standoffish vibes because I really don't want to talk to anyone. So I'm both outgoing and a bitch.
Yes.
So it just really depends.
Both outgoing and a bitch. That should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yep. And it's just a picture of me. So I didn't really make any college friends, but I ended up getting in randomly with this really tight-knit group of people. So I really don't feel like it was until maybe I was like, I moved to Kansas City, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, so I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it was difficult because I knew the friends that I had moved here to be next to, but that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a job, and work friends are a thing. We were work friends.
We were work friends, and now we're real friends.
But now we're real friends. But that's not necessarily, like, I don't know. I outside of actually Barnes & Noble in Leawood, I don't have very lasting friendships. Well, and one of my friends from Independence. I don't have very lasting friendships that I formed from work.
Yeah.
So it, I honestly couldn't tell you how to make friends.
unless it just happens to you, we have no idea what it is. But that's an interesting point.
When I was in the rave community, drugs really helped. And then when I started dating Bobby, I immediately latched onto his group of friends because they're all amazing, and that's basically my friends.
Well, that works too. So, like,
a large part of them.
So you would say work friends turned real friends, which is a formula that we don't have figured out. Sometimes it just happens, sometimes it doesn't. And then dating and becoming friends with the significant other's friends are ways of making friends.
Yeah. So what would you, okay, so here's a hypothetical.
Give me.
You're in my shoes and you moved to a new location where you didn't really know anybody.
Yep, I'm nervous.
You know, maybe nervous. Let's say you moved to Portland. That's just the first city I thought of. And it's just you, we'll say you and Mel. How are you, what are some of the things that you think that, you know, you're going to try to do to make friends?
Okay. So I'm thinking about it, and I think, honestly, for me, it would take me a while. Like, not necessarily because I wouldn't be looking for friends, but I would need to, like, feel comfortable physically in the place I'm at. Like, I wouldn't necessarily be comfortable enough to, like, strike up a conversation with somebody if I have literally no idea where I am. So I think it would take me a little while to get, like, my physical bearings. And then probably through work, I think, is how I would, like, start to talk to people. And then my go-to would be, like, pick an activity, go do the activity, see if friends happen. So, like, for me, that would be, like, rock climbing, because you could talk to people in the rock climbing gym. But
I think
nowadays too, like, there's, like, a side of Bumble where it's, like, you can just look for friends. So possibly that would be an option.
Yeah, that weirds me out, though. But, I mean, it personally weirds me out. I don't know why, because I think that that's really a nice service that Bumble has.
Yes.
But I don't know. It weirds me out.
To, like, but, like,
can't get over it.
I know. Like, I've never used it, because I've been very fortunate to not feel the need to. But I feel like it's nice that it just, like, allows, okay, I'm specifically looking for friends, nothing else. I am putting it out there immediately, just friends. Blah blah blah. So it's like the expectations are correct on that side, which,
I mean, it's cool. Like, you can, like, meet up, have little friend dates and stuff, and see if you guys vibe.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of pressure somehow, but I don't know. I've never used it. Somebody who has used it, please
exactly
let us know.
It.
Yeah,
yeah. Let us know if it is a lot of pressure, because that's what it. It doesn't. That's what weirds me out about it, is I feel like I'm gonna be so awkward. Like, it's less awkward than if I'm going on a date, you know, if I'm going on, like, a friend date with somebody that I met online.
Right. It's, like, all of the same questions, but, like, everybody's friend rules are different, and you don't know what rules you're playing by. I, like, it. You gotta vibe check, like, hardcore. If I can make somebody laugh, then, like, I want to be friends with them, but, like, if we're not gonna laugh, then we can't be friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think sense of humor is really important. And I like what you had to say, too, going back to, like, you know, rock climbing or something. Like, you find somebody with, like, you know, in a hobby. So, like, you know, joining, like, a little sports league or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is that your thing is. And that's it. That's a really good way to get to know people. I think if I had to put my finger on it, the trick is to not put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to try to force something, and you're going to be around people because you want to have friends, and not necessarily because you want to be friends with them.
And I think it's like that thing where, like, people can kind of, like, feel the desperation, for lack of a better term, even if you aren't, like, desperate, super mm-hmm. desperate for friends. It's like you're looking for something to, like, to jump the gun. Okay, now we're friends. Where it's like, friends, just like any other relationship, it takes time to build a friendship. And if you're too, like, zealous in the front, I feel like it's hard.
Yeah, it's going to scare people off.
Yeah, which I think was my problem when I was 18, because I went to, like, community college, so all my friends left. And, like, I still talked to them, but they weren't really, like, around too much, except for, like, my best friend, who we've stayed friends this whole time. And so then I would, like, meet new people, and then, like, I would talk to them once and be like, okay, we're friends now. And no.
Nope, we're not friends.
Nope, no.
We don't really, yeah. And then I think sometimes it is, though, like, sometimes you just click.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, too. I think, too, like, what's really important for anybody looking for a friendship is to understand, like, especially, you know, this at all points in life, but especially, like, trying to find an adult friend. Mm-hmm. Don't think of friendship as a permanent thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're going to float in and out of these groups, you know, float in and out of friendships with people while you're trying to find your, you know, your team, your family, yeah. your friends, your family. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's okay. Like, that's totally fine. You know, I when I moved to Kansas City, that's a thing that I did. You know, it's like, I'm friends with these people. Okay, now I'm not really seeing them anymore, and I'm friends with these people, and I'm not really seeing them anymore, and I'm friends with these people. And it doesn't make you a flake, it's just, it's natural,
right?
You know, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it is our best friend, is throwing an ad here, right in the middle. So let's do that, and we'll come back.
Yeah. Listen to our ad. Listen to it, because it pays us.
We should re-record another one.
We really should. Maybe we
Maybe
will.
We won't.
Listen to find out.
Okay, you hit finish recording.
What did you do while we were gone?
Travel through space and time. I'm actually about 10 years older than I was before.
Oh, I made a bunch of pizza rolls. And
same thing.
Yeah. So I'm gonna... I didn't make any pizza rolls. I lied to you. I just realized it just seemed cool.
Oh. Well, that's sad. Pretend pizza rolls is a crime.
Pretend pizza rolls is sadder than real pizza rolls, which is already kind of sad.
It is already kind of sad. Oh, no. But we all secretly like pizza rolls.
So, we
which
do.
Which is the other thing that's funny. Oh, that's a good way to make friends, is having the same
pizza
guilty pleasure food, which is pizza rolls.
Yeah, I do think that, I think similar taste in music can be a big thing. D&D. If that's your, you know, if that's your steez, and that's a really cool way to make friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Video games in general can be a really good, or I mean,
yeah.
Video games, but video games as an offshoot of that is a great way
yeah.
to make friends.
Yeah. It's really hard. And I just want to commiserate with our listeners, because I'm sure that they face this too. It's really hard to meet people. So I think a lot of us as millennials, but I think you and I are very fortunate right now, because we both have a fairly large number of friends.
Yes.
And I think that is rare, because so many people that I talk to, and so many, you know, millennials will be like, I have two friends.
Yeah. I run into this a lot. Like, okay, so you have noticed this as well, that like you said, like, you and I are very fortunate. We have, like, a good number of friends. Part of that is because somehow we worked in a place where, like, literally everybody that we worked with was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But I don't know. There, it's like, do you think that, like, the trolls and the boomers and the generations before are right when they say that millennials don't know how to socialize anymore? Like, we don't know how to talk to each other if it's not on the internet.
So I think that every generation does this thing where they forget what it was like for them. You know, I catch myself, you know, I picked up a part-time serving job, and while I'm there, I catch myself doing that, thinking about the high school kids there, and like, gosh, they just move so slow that I don't have any work ethic. And I'm like, well, because work ethic is learned.
That's true.
This is their first job. They've worked here for like 2 months. They'll get there. So I think that, I think that boomers really do this thing with millennials over and over again, where they just forget what it was like when they were our age. But no, I don't think that we aren't good at socializing. And I think that you need to look at how many friends these boomers have that they see on a regular basis. You know, my mom has one friend, really. I mean, she has other people that she's friendly with, but she has a friend. And that friend's husband is my dad's friend. And that's it, really, for them. That's the people they hang out with. That's people they go on trips with and stuff like that. So I think that it's something that it doesn't matter what generation you're in. It's just there's a lot of obstacles in your way between, you know, you and friendships as an adult.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does take like a certain amount of, I think, being in the same place in your life. Because like you said, friendships, it's good to think of them as kind of transient. Like you have to go like ebb and flow in and out of people's lives, because we're all sort of working the narrative of our own existence, that it becomes hard to kind of like coexist with people sometimes if it stands in opposition to that path that you are already on. So it's like definitely difficult to have a number of friends, for sure. And even more so just to even meet people who are, whose path parallel yours in that moment. Like, and both of you in that moment are like, I am ready for friendship, you know?
Exactly. And then I think the next level of difficulty is the fact that, like, what do you do about the fact that you are both adults with adult schedules?
Yeah.
You know? And especially millennials, like, I will say, like, at least at this point in time, millennials are busy all the time.
All the fucking time. It's true. And everybody works. Like, I don't know if this is true for you, but I actually have one friend. She's the friend I mentioned earlier. She's been my best friend since the beginning. Her and I are on such opposite schedules that we talk on the phone for 3 hours every 3 days, and that is our friendship.
Oh, yeah. I think that... Hold on. I think that that's pretty normal. I don't talk on the phone a whole lot with anybody. And, you know, that's, so this friend group, you know, that I have through Bobby.
Yeah.
Which feels so weird to say, cause you know, they've been my friends for years now. But, we used to see each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we were always, there's some grouping of us at somebody's house or apartment or something, you know, hanging out, watching TV. One of my friends, we were learning to whittle for a little while. Just stuff like that. And now, though, in the past year or two, we just don't see each other that much. And I think it's just... we've moved into that phase of our lives where, you know, we're slowing down. We all kind of left the EDM scene at the same time. And that was a lot of our socialization. And so, you know, we can go weeks, you know, longer even without seeing each other or interacting with each other. But, you know, they're still some of the closest friends that I have. And when we do see each other, it's like no time has passed at all.
Which is, that's how, I think that's, like, the mark of, like, a true friendship. Like, even though a lot of time has passed, it feels like no time has passed. Or even if you only talk on the phone, it's, like, no different. Like, you're still there for each other. You're still, like, like in each other's lives in a very real way, which is crazy. And that brings us perfectly to, like, our next branch, you know, hashtag brand.
Hashtag branching.
We're like really good at our job. And, which is maintaining friendships. And there's like two caveats to that. So like in general, as an adult with different schedules, that's super difficult to maintain them. Cause like you said, we could only see them maybe once every so often, should lives shift and things like that. But now there's the added pressure of it's a pandemic and you just want to make sure that all of your friends like know that you're there and like you want to hang out with them, but you can't necessarily hang out with them. But also we're still all really busy somehow. Yeah. And none of it makes any sense.
Yeah. I think this last year has been really hard in a lot of ways, obviously. But especially like last March through May.
Yeah.
It was really hard on friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you usually go weeks without seeing each other, now you can't see each other. Now that's all you want to do. Because you right. also can't do anything else either. You're just sitting on your couch for 18 hours a day. Then you go to bed.
Exactly. Which is just a kind of a terrifying existence.
Yeah. Yeah. Quarantine aside,
mm-hmm.
like, I think it's really important to not put too much pressure on yourself with your friendships.
Yes.
Like, know your limits, know what you can do, know your own schedule, and find a way to work within that. But, you know, if you haven't seen your friend in a couple weeks, you can send them a text, but you don't have to feel guilty, you know?
Right.
Like it's busy and they haven't seen you either, you know? So it's, right. it's obviously like, that's just what happens, you know?
It's a two-way street. And that is something that sometimes I find daunting because, so I actually made a new friend recently, right before I graduated, which was really cool. It's like my like really cool. Somebody wanted to be friends with me in the last like month of school. It's great. So we started talking and everything, but obviously we've never gotten to hang out in person because pandemic. And
right.
it's just kind of wild, but she said something to me because like when you first start talking to somebody, you want to make sure that like they know like you're attentive, like you're there taking it seriously. Like I'm putting the work in to be your friend. I promise. But then it took me a couple of days to respond to a text that she had sent me. And then she replied and she was basically like, we in this establishment do not judge, nor do we care how long it takes our friends to respond, because that is bullshit.
That's nice.
And that's something that I hold very dear to my heart.
Yes, I will never judge anyone for taking a long time to text me back, because while I feel like I'm pretty good at about it, there are times where I legitimately will like be doing something, I'll see that someone has texted and I'll just forget.
Yeah, yes, I think I am. That's like, if I had a toxic trait, it's that. Yeah. It's opening a fucking text and not replying.
I try to like not open them, like just see the preview, and that way I will still have the notification and I can remember to go back.
Yeah. That's good too. But sometimes you get sent two or three text messages by one person and then you open them so you know what they are and then you can think about a reply. But then you think about replying and you never actually reply, even though it feels like you did.
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty much me. Yes, I have that issue a lot.
I think that makes me feel better though, because I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Well, and so it's really nice though, because I know like with you too, like I will do that and I will forget. And then like hours later, I'll text you like, shit, I'm sorry. And right. Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. Like, it's like sometimes we need to acknowledge it. Sometimes we don't, but like, it's like both of us are coming at it from the place of like, I don't expect you to reply to me immediately ever. That I feel mm-hmm. like is that's too much pressure, like you said, because it's like friends and like every other relationship is like that interesting thing where you're sharing your life with somebody in sometimes a very similar way to like being like in a relationship, but also you still have to like live your life. You're still like an independent person apart from your friend, and if your friend thinks otherwise, that's not good. And it's important to like give them the space to live their life, do the shit they got to do, and then regroup after the fact.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think too, like, it's just don't put pressure on yourself. Like if that's a big takeaway on every aspect of adult friendships, don't put pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
But also like, I think there's on the other side of that, times when you have to put a little bit of pressure on yourself, like when your friend's going through something.
Yeah.
For me, I have to put pressure on myself to like reach out to them and make sure they're doing okay regularly, because I will forget. Mm-hmm. I will forget to do it. It'll be 3 a.m. and I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And that's
like a good pressure, because it's like you should, like, yeah. That's the other thing, is like friendship is still work. Every relationship is work. And in my opinion, like, again, another mark of like a good friendship is showing up. Like, if you just got to show the fuck mm-hmm. up sometimes, and that is work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like I try to make a habit of, if I'm thinking about somebody, just shooting them a message like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, if I haven't talked to them in a while. And I think that that's really good. But also, like, to go all the way back to quarantine friendships,
mm-hmm.
I think a couple of things that are really fun that are available now that haven't always been available, you know, Zoom dates.
Yes.
You know, do a little Zoom happy hour with your friends.
Yeah.
And Zoom is frustrating, and I get that.
It is.
But, like, it's a way to see each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, FaceTime with each other, that Netflix watch party thing yeah. that was going on for a while.
Yeah.
That's a really great way to just have an experience with a friend, you know, without having to see them. I think that people, and myself included, are starting to, like, I think pretty safely kind of inch back out into society.
Yes, I think so too.
But you have to also be safe. You have to be safe. A lot of people are getting vaccinated now, which is great.
Yes.
It's making things a little bit safer.
Yes.
But I think that if there's a way, like these drag shows, like mm-hmm. I really wrestled with, do I perform now or not? And I don't want to pass up this opportunity and not be able to, but I also don't want to be unsafe and put myself and people I know in any sort of danger.
Right.
But then, like, I went to one of the shows and I saw that they have, like, amazing safety precautions. They make you wear your mask all the time unless you're actively eating or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sit groups close together. They can avoid it.
Yeah.
And the queens are wearing masks the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Clear masks. So you can still see their lips. But, you know, I think that people are starting to kind of inch back out. And so, like, it's almost time, I think, for us to sort of relearn how to be friends in a society again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's an interesting moment in history, too, because, like we existed in a very particular moment where we had to figure out how to be friends while being away from one another and, like, only wanting to be with friends, but you couldn't. Like, because you couldn't, you just wanted to be with them more. And then now, figuring out how to be with them, but in, like, the appropriate, the world is still not 100% like normal. It's like, that's great.
People are still getting COVID.
It's like, that's great, like the drag shows and everything, that they're taking very seriously, and you're able to sort of, like, you know, start, like, to follow your dreams and have support from people and everything, but it's in, like, a responsible, nice way.
Yeah, and still a safe way, yeah. And, you know, and I have had people, too, like, I invited on my show last week, and they're just like, I'm not comfortable until I get vaccinated. And I was like, wonderful, that's great. I totally understand.
Yeah, that is actually part of the reason why we are recording over the phone this time, because Mel is about to have surgery. So in a moment like this, we're being more cautious, you know?
Yes, absolutely, and... I think that that is super prudent mm-hmm. In the time that we live in.
Prudent, so, isn't it? 2021.
Yes.
Be prudent.
2021. Dear Prudent.
Dear Prudent. I really think that we should do a mass edit for all of the times that we accidentally pitch a fantastic fucking TV show. Netflix still has not gotten back to us about any of the TV shows that we have pitched thus far, which is frustrating. And
to be fair, I've forgotten about all of them. I remember pitching them. I remember, like, I have a great idea. I don't remember what any of them were.
We've already done, like, two right now in this episode.
Yep, I forgot.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
I did have one that I put on Facebook though.
Yeah.
That you probably didn't see. So I've been rewatching Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
And it's like I want there to be a medical drama, but like with somebody with my amount of medical knowledge writing it. And it's just like he needs a mouth doctor. He's got a bad throat.
I love it. And the show would be called Whiskey Medicine.
Whiskey Medicine.
or prayer medicine, something like that. And it's just people who don't know what the fuck they're doing in the middle of nowhere.
I like Whiskey Medicine because it sounds like risky medicine, and it would be risky medicine.
It would be risky, and everybody would be drunk on whiskey.
Yeah. I will say, if hospitals happen any way like they do in Grey's Anatomy, I understand why mortality rates are so high.
Basically, too many people having relations in the hospital, not enough actual medical care happening.
Also, like, some seriously intense conversations happening over surgery. And, like, mm-hmm. I hope when I'm having surgery that the doctors are focusing on me.
Right.
And not their personal lives. Like, that shit can happen after. Talk about me. Talk about my body right now, please, sir.
Right? Like, it's happening now. Like, my body is open. Let's focus on that and not anything else.
Yes. Like, if I wake up during surgery and I hear you talking about your love life, first of all, I'm going to be in enormous amounts of pain. Second, stop it.
And I'm going to give you so much unsolicited advice on your love life that you're going to have to knock me back out and cut me open even more.
Yeah, exactly. While I'm just screaming in pain. You're like, you should talk to her more.
You should try.
Just explain your feelings.
Have you ever considered couples therapy? that would be great. I would actually watch that show. Where it's just people waking up during surgery and asked to give advice on very specific, like, instances in other people's lives.
They're just, like, in complete agony and freaking out and just, like, trying to get out any answers.
Yes. And they're like...
No, that only sounds fun in theory. In practice, that sounds terrible to watch. And, I don't want to watch that.
Well, what if we switch it so they're not waking up during surgery? It's right after surgery. So, like, as the anesthesia is wearing off and you're definitely high on life still, and you're just, like, starting to come to, and they're like, so-and-so is about to have her third baby with her second husband, but things are getting rocky. What do you think she should do?
I love that. I would watch that. The winner gets a free surgery. I don't know why it's a game show online, but it is.
And it's, yes, and it's a game show. And the winner gets a free surgery, even though they've already all had surgery, per the premise of the show.
But they get a free one. Not their current one, but their next one's free.
Right, the one where they have to fix all of the mistakes that they made. Surgeons were talking about their personal lives.
Yeah, exactly. That one's free, as it probably should be.
That's so funny. Yes. Okay, so we were talking about friendships, I think, at some point.
Uh-huh.
And yep. We were.
What about
we
them? Doing it.
Just that they happen. So to kind of recap what we have gone through our meandering conversation here is like, friends as adults is hard, definitely when you move. And so, okay, so I answered the question of, like, what I would hypothetically do in that situation. But, mm-hmm. Doug, like, what do you, like, feel like, besides dating Bobby, do you feel like you did anything specific to, like, welcome friendships or build friendships in your life when you moved around?
Well, so at first, you know, joined a D&D group pretty early on.
Nice.
And so those were my friends for a little while. And then honestly, like, I just kind of meandered. Like, I didn't have a lot of, like, close friendships outside of, like, one or two people, maybe.
Yeah.
I really don't have a good answer there because I just kind of, like, stumbled around until I fell into a really good friend group. And maybe that's what you got to do, you know, but that's definitely what I did.
I think that's kind of what I did too. Cause like I said, like I've always had like Alicia, but, and there were definitely periods of my life where like she was my only friend. And then somehow, some way, I guess just kind of like being open to it and suddenly being around people who are, you know, like same kind, mm-hmm. passed the vibe check and mm-hmm. also wanted to be friends. Mm-hmm. It just happened.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's basically it. Or a good way to make friends as an adult, and you can back me up on this, is to have a work friend that you get along with pretty well and then ask them if they want to do a podcast with you.
That's a great way to do it. Yes. We can say that it does work very well.
It does work. We have a 100% success rate.
So far, 100%, which is, mm-hmm. I would say 101%, actually, because we're so extra.
I would say 102%.
And that's actually a great point, because I don't know if you remember, but this is after you had transferred from mm-hmm. like the Barnes & Noble that you and I worked at to a different Barnes & Noble. And so we were no longer sharing like physical space, and mm-hmm. schedules were tough. And while like the group of us would meet up once a week, that was more difficult to like do. So we hadn't actually, we were friends, but like we hadn't mm-hmm. really hung out or like talked a whole lot in many months. And then you were like, I want to do a podcast. And I was like, I have one. And then we did that. And then it like sort of like
I think it brought us like, and we were already like very well like we got along really well, and we like hung out really well, but I think that like branched ultimately solidified the strength of our friendship that we have now.
Yes, I agree. And it like solidified that foundation. It was like we've built since then. Which is really awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to think about that Branch did that.
So if you want to make friends, listen to this podcast and then go find any random person and show them this podcast. And then now you guys are friends. So if you
you guys can have a podcast to talk about.
And then you guys can have a podcast where you guys talk about friendship. So if you are the person,
person. You got a podcast where you talk about Branched.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's called Branched.
It's called Out on a Limb, a Branched podcast.
Oh, that's good. That's way better than Branched. That's really good. Yeah. Okay. Keep that in mind, everybody.
If you're gonna make like a fan podcast about this podcast, which I know you are.
Which of course you are. How could you not?
You know who I could see doing that?
Who?
The You Should Have Ghosted Girls.
Yes. What would our fan podcast about their podcast be called?
I Already Ghosted.
Everyone except for these two. Yes,
I would totally do a fan podcast about their podcast. Oh, we should have podcasts about each other's podcasts.
We could do that. Shout out to You Should Have Ghosted.
Great. Go listen to anywhere podcast are at.
We do like them. We talk about dogs and cute things all day long with them every day. And it's very nice.
Yeah, we have a little Snapchat group chat.
Yes.
Snapchat.
Hey, that's another way that we have legitimately made friends through Branched yet again, is just by being in touch with other podcast people. So I think the answer is to do things, mm-hmm. and then somehow friendship will happen. But also be sure that when the friendship does occur, that you are ready to show up, put the work in, mm-hmm. and not put a lot of pressure on yourself or the other person. No expectations. Just be ready to be there for them.
I think if there's a takeaway, it's all of that. Plus there are no hard and fast rules, you know?
Right.
There's no hard and fast rules on how to make friends. There's no hard and fast rule on how many times you need to see your friends.
Right.
Just do you. Do what's right.
Right. And when you are doing you, make sure to do it hard and fast.
Do you so hard and so fast.
So good. Yes, I would say so. I would say so. Doug, do you have any other closing remarks?
Follow us on the Twitters.
Follow us on the Twitters.
@BranchedPodcast. You can follow us on the Instagrams and the Facebooks too, but we're really active on the Twitters.
We are really active on the Twitters. I occasionally post on our Instagram. Also,
we have a TikTok too.
We have a TikTok that I think I'm going to save up and get a new phone. Because I think that the reason I'm not good at TikTok is because my phone camera isn't that great. So, like, it's not me. It's my phone camera. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely the phone. It's
definitely the phone, 100%.
I'll be Patty's getting a TikTok.
Yes. That's the content I want. Going to
start doing some reaction videos.
Love it.
I was actually going to do some tonight because I had my makeup all done because I was practicing for tomorrow. But then I took my makeup off.
Oh, I see.
The end.
The end.
And yeah, I'm not going to spend another hour and a half putting it back on. So no TikToks tonight.
No TikToks tonight. Well, hey, thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for sticking with us through the weirdness of 2020. And above all else, thank you for being our friend. And love you. Bye.
Yeah, we love you. Bye.
Bye.